some new and exciting technology and some of the research that they've done in Tennessee with the new BT ligus and thrips trait. And I will turn it over to Scott. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Hank. And I know a lot of you have been in this room for a while sitting here, and it's pretty tough to come up right before break after that great suite of speakers. That's why I really appreciate that Dr. Dodds was in front of me. I'm going to talk about the new ligus trait or ligus thrips trait, and I have 6 minutes, and the current expectations. And I use that word current expectations intentionally because I'll reinforce this at the end of the presentation, but this is a new technology and we don't have enough experience with it yet. But I'm going to show you what we're finding so far. And this is actually the graduate project of Scott Graham, who probably by all rights could or should be giving this presentation. He's in the back of the room. I want to make sure I acknowledge that. I'm going to keep the background really, really simple. You know, thrips are bad. Plant bugs are worse. If you look at our belt-wide cotton insect loss estimates, they're in the top three pretty much year in and year out. We've got a lot of work. In fact, Angus Catchott's student, Mr. North, published some data just recently, came out showing that if you don't do something for thrips, you're going to lose 100-plus pounds of cotton on average year in and year out. Of course, plant bugs, particularly in the Mid-South, are very, very serious, but we have plant bugs in other parts of the belt as well. So, you know, it'd be really nice to have some new technologies to control these things. We know the thrips have developed resistance to thiamethoxam, tobacco thrips in particular. We're seeing lack of performance or less performance with imidacloprid as well. Plant bugs have historically, when you have a lot of them, been tough to control to begin with because they're a mobile insect. But, you know, I started my career in Jackson, Mississippi. Well, I didn't start it. That was my first professional job. And I remember going out to the field the first year BT cotton was introduced, 1996, and we had a big bollworm flight. I didn't have a lot of experience with BT cotton at the time, so I went and looked at a grower's field, had a bunch of small worms in the blooms, and, you know, Monsanto saying, oh, you probably don't need to spray it, and I'm not real sure. But I knew one thing, he had a lot of boll weevils at the time, and he had plant bugs. So it was real easy to say, let's spray a pyrethroid insecticide. That wouldn't even work now. The pyrethroids aren't very good on bollworms, and in my trials anymore, they don't even touch a plant bug. Sometimes they're actually worse when we spray a pyrethroid. So, you know, pesticide susceptibility in the plant bugs are changing as well. So beginning in 2014, actually Monsanto approached a bunch of us in the belt and said, we have the ligus trait, and that's what they called it. It's a BT cotton. In fact, the BT trait is Cry 51 AA2. So that's a big number compared to the stuff you heard earlier today, Cry 1, Cry 2. It's a pretty unique Cry protein, but it is a traditional BT toxin. They asked us to plant this trait and evaluate it, and then we planted, and they said, you know, we've had some people make some observations that we might be seeing a little something with thrips control out of this. And I actually went out and looked at these fields and just looked at my plots. And I think you can see the difference there. Now, both of these pictures here had a Cruiser Avicta seed treatment. This is at the time when thiamethoxam or Cruiser was not providing effective control. So pretty obvious that we're seeing a little protection of thrips there with the ligus trait. And that started us or kept us from calling it just the ligus trait from that point forward. We started calling it the ligus thrips trait. So I looked for the best picture I could find of Scott Graham, and then I chose this one instead, just so I wanted everybody to see his face. But this is after he spent an hour or so riding in the cotton picker, getting his face dirty. But this is a Mr. Graham picture right here, and I'm going to talk about his research. And it's got several different aspects, but I'm really going to show you the data from his field research trials. We had two locations. This research was done in 2016 and 2017. One of the locations is in Jackson, Tennessee, where I'm located at the West Tennessee Research and Education Center. I would characterize our plant bug populations there recently, anyhow, as traditionally relatively high. The other location is in Milan, Tennessee, the other research center, about 30 minutes north, and I'd say our pest pressure there in terms of plant bugs is moderate. And now, what Scott did in his field trials, he did a factorial design. It's actually a split plot, three-factor experiment. And I always tell people, never do a three-way factorial experiment. They're overly complicated, and you can't interpret the results. So this was my idea. Blame me. But he essentially had three factors. The main factor, the main plots, the big plots, were foliar insecticides. So we either didn't spray, and this is for plant bugs, we sprayed based on our current plant bug recommendations or thresholds, or we sprayed aggressively for plant bugs, which essentially meant weekly applications throughout the season. The second factor, the subplots, was the BT trait or the non-BT trait. And then the third factor, the subplots, was an insecticide seed treatment. And if it had an insecticide seed treatment, it also had a first leaf application of acephate. The insecticide seed treatment in this case was Aris. It's been one of my more consistent performers in my evaluations, and that's why I chose it. This approach here, this Aris plus a foliar application at the 1 to 2 leaf stage, would be what I'd consider the Cadillac treatment in our geography. So I'm going to show some data. I'm not going to show it all. I'm not going to show you data, very much data anyhow, from the individual locations. And part of that is our results were really pretty consistent across the two different years and the two different locations. So if we look at the average of those locations, I think you're going to get a pretty good picture. You're going to see a lot of slides set up like this. On the left is the main effect of the insecticide seed treatment. In the center is the main effect of the BT trait or non-trait. And then over here on the right, you're going to see actually that broken apart, showing the interaction between the insecticide seed treatment and the trait. We're looking at thrips counts here at the two leaf stage, which is traditionally when we get our highest numbers. First thing I want to point out is our insecticide seed treatment, Aris with the foliar spray at this time, did a really good job of reducing thrips numbers. You'll see the BT trait by itself did a similar job. So the BT trait did pretty darn well at reducing thrips numbers. There was an interaction. That interaction's pretty simple to explain. The untreated looked bad. If you had an insecticide seed treatment or you had the trait, it did really well. If you had both in combination, it was a little bit better, but not that much better. This is just a picture of what you might see, and this is an image in the 2016 location at Jackson. And I don't know how well it shows up, but on the left you're looking at the untreated non-BT cotton. If this arrow shows up, I might be able to point it out. But what you'll notice is there's one pretty much fully expanded first true leaf. But if you look down there at the center of that plant, do you see that second true leaf? Really hard to see. It's really all small and gnarled up and crinkly. On the right, you're looking at the untreated cotton that has the BT trait. And you can see that second leaf. It's not pristine, but it's relatively undamaged from thrips injury. So this is thrips injury ratings, again, on average across those four locations at the 3.5 leaf stage. This is on a 0 to 5 scale, again, averaged over 2 years at two locations. I'm just showing you this data. We have data for other growth stages, but this is kind of when we see the maximum injury. Just looking at the main effect of insecticide seed treatment, a good effect of using the insecticide seed treatment in reducing thrips injury. A very similar effect from the BT trait. And again, we have that similar interaction that we saw with thrips numbers. There was a lot more injury where we didn't do anything. If we use the trait, we use the seed treatment, or we use the combination of the trait and the seed treatment, we got substantial protection. And I should point out, this is pretty good protection. Our Aris performed very well. The trait performed very well. We're on average seeing 3.5, sometimes 4s in the non-treated cotton, which is enough to cause typically economic injury. We're in the 1 range or less with the trait or the air seed treatment, which is very, very good control. So if this shows up, it's just kind of visually showing you what we'd see in our plots pretty consistently. Those right rows you see on the edge of the screen are the trait, and those ones on the left where you have a hard time seeing if there's any cotton there, that's the non-treated that obviously has been injured by thrips. So some of the other things that Scott's doing, and I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but he's doing some kind of behavior studies to see what might be going on in there. And this is what we call just a thrips preference study, where Scott raised plants inside a incubator until they got to the 1 leaf stage. And then he put them out in the fields when we were having a lot of thrips migrating into the fields. Actually, just put them out into the alleys of his main test. And these were non-BT and BT plants. 24 hours later, he collected those plants, did a thrips wash to see how many thrips were on those plants, what kinds of thrips were on those plants, and I think it made a very important point when he did this. What we saw is there was significantly less adult thrips on the BT trait than the non-BT trait. So this is after 24 hours. We're only looking at adults. This is clearly a preference thing. It's not a mortality thing. I think it's pretty obvious, and there's some data out of North Carolina from George Kennedy that would suggest that this trait is not, it's something that the thrips don't like. It's repelling them, for lack of a better word. You can also see here that most of the thrips we're finding, which is very typical, the majority of our thrips are tobacco thrips. Now, Scott also took the data from his field trials and just tallied up the number of adult thrips, and he categorized these as tobacco thrips, soybean thrips, and then the other thrip species that he's found, and he compared those in his non-treated plots from the non-BT and the BT-traded cotton. And the reason I'm showing this slide is, whatever the mode of action is, however we're affecting these thrips, it looks like it's affecting the species pretty similarly. You can see we got 76% tobacco thrips in the non-BT cotton. It's 76% in the BT cotton. 8% soybean thrips versus 9% in the BT cotton. So it looks like whatever effect this is kind of working across species. So now I want to talk about the plant bug component of it. This is the one I think we need to get a little bit more experience on, just because we haven't really drilled down into it very much. And I'm going to show you a little bit of data from the early season. Now, I'll be the first to confess that we didn't have huge infestations of tarnished plant bugs during the early season. We didn't see an effect of our insecticide seed treatment on plant bug numbers. But even with these relatively low tarnished plant bug numbers, we did see a significant effect of trait on early season square retention, and we saw a significant effect of spray regime. So we had the BT trait. We had a little bit better square retention. Both of these would be adequate square retention. We're well above 80%. And where we sprayed a lot of insecticides, particularly where we sprayed weekly and aggressively, we had a little bit better square retention. Now, we weren't really even spraying the threshold treatments at this time because they weren't triggering thresholds, so that's not surprising to me that doesn't tease apart. There was an interaction here. I'm not going to show it, but essentially the interaction is the square retention drop-off was more obvious in the non-BT cotton than the BT cotton. So the BT cotton was adding some protection. This is tarnished plant bug adults prior to bloom. Kind of tells you the similar story. Again, you can see the numbers we were dealing with, where our maximum numbers were around 3 per 25 sweeps. So that is over threshold, or at least during the early part of the season. But again, not real, real high numbers. Not a significant effect of insecticide seed treatment. But again, you can see the trait is reducing the number of tarnished plant bug adults that we're finding in that cotton prior to bloom. Now, it's not an 80% reduction, but it is a significant reduction. You can also see that our spray regime, where we're spraying aggressively and a lot, reduced our tarnished plant bug numbers. And I think it's kind of surprising, considering you're spraying every week, that number isn't less. But I think that shows you how much early season plant bug adult numbers are dependent upon migration. So now I want to switch over to nymphs, because this data is usually a little bit cleaner, and frankly, that's usually where we see our big populations, and this was no exception. This is showing you drop cloth numbers of nymphs per 2 drop cloths or 10 row feet. Kind of interesting, Chip, sitting in here for whatever reason. Our insecticide seed treatment was showing we were seeing a little bit of reduction in the number of nymphs, and then keep in mind, this is really after first bloom. I'm not really sure how to explain that. I have some ideas. But one thing that was definitely clear is we saw a reduction in tarnished plant bug numbers where we had the BT-traded cotton. We also saw a very significant impact in this case of making insecticide applications. It greatly reduced tarnished plant bug numbers. Again, you can see we have all kinds of interactions. We have an insecticide seed treatment by spray regime interaction and a trait by spray regime interaction. I am going to show you those. First thing I want to say is, even though we had these interactions, the pattern was generally very similar. If we had no BT trait, which you're seeing on the left, the aggressive insecticide applications or the threshold greatly reduced tarnished plant bug numbers, a little bit more than what we saw on the BT side of things. But really, both, you know, the insecticide spray regimes kind of had a similar effect on both technologies. Now, this is, I think, kind of important, and I'll circle back to this in a minute or two, but this is actually showing you the season average number of large nymphs. So this would be fourth or fifth instar nymphs, as judged essentially by their size when you're looking at them on the drop cloth. And if you could go back and compare them to the previous slides, You know, we saw overall, if you look at nymphs, maybe a 20, 30% reduction in nymph numbers, but it's substantially more than that if you look at large nymphs. And I think this is important, and I think this data will kind of highlight how important these large nymphs are at causing the damage that is actually causing yield loss. You see our spray regime had a major effect on large nymphs, but if you look just at the untreated, where we're not making any insecticide applications, it's well over a 50% reduction in the number of large nymphs where we had the BT trait. So we had another little sideline experiment. I'm just going to show a couple of pieces of data from that, and it was really designed to kind of look at the behavior of the plant bug. But there's a couple of things we noticed when we did it, and we took some data on it. And so this is data from 2017. And what it is, it was untreated cotton after first bloom. We managed it for plant bugs up to first bloom, and then we let it go. And then we went out there and we actually counted the number of plant bug injured squares or blooms. So we called that dirty squares or dirty blooms in the non-BT and the BT cotton. And it was very apparent, and the reason we did it, it was very visually apparent that we weren't seeing these kind of more extremely damaged blooms, you know, these really dirty blooms or these really yellowed up dirty squares, not nearly as much in the BT cotton as the non-BT cotton. It really impressed me looking at these data a lot more than just looking at the drop cloth data themselves. And we saw a similar reduction in the number of plant bugs. And really, if you look at the plant bugs that are causing a lot of these really dirty squares and these dirty blooms, it's the larger plant bugs. And I think it goes back to the data I just showed you before. And Scott also did some ratings of boll damage, and I think these pictures are very enlightening. This is the non-BT cotton that hadn't been treated with insecticide, keep in mind, and I think you all can see that cat-facing and pockmarked bolls. Some of them are really dirtied up right there. That's the non-BT cotton. This is the BT cotton. That's just a picture of 25 bolls he took out of one rep, very consistent data. You can see there's still some plant bug and or stink bug injury in there, but a very noticeable difference to what you saw in the previous slide. So when you looked at his data, he had very clear statistical separation in that there were, in the non-BT cotton, he had more external marks, he had more internal warts on the boll walls, he had more lit staining. And again, I think a lot of this is driven actually by the adults and large immature feeding on these bolls. So this is kind of where the rubber meets the road. We're going to look at some yield impacts. And again, these are the three main effects, and I'll break this down because we do have some interactions. But if you look on average across all the different treatments, we saw about a 100-pound increase in lint when we use an insecticide seed treatment. Remember I started this presentation talking about a summary of like 90-some trials. If you don't manage thrips, you're going to lose about 100 pounds of lint per acre, and that's exactly what we saw across these four trials. The trait increased yield also in about a similar level, and also an insecticide, spraying an insecticide, greatly increased yield. That was probably the predominant factor that drove yield in our trials. But again, we have some interactions, and I want to break this down a little bit. So this is just looking at essentially the thrips control component of it right here. And their interaction is this. We lost 100 pounds of lint if we didn't manage thrips. It didn't really matter how we did it. We could either use the trait or we can use an insecticide seed treatment, but we managed to maintain our yield when we did either one of those things. If you look at the ligus component of it, one point I really want to drive home is this new ligus BT technology does require insecticide application to control ligus. In both cases, whether you didn't have the trait or you did have the trait, you needed to spray insecticides or you lost a substantial amount of yield. And that's what these data are showing you. Over on the left is the non-BT cotton. You can see the aggressive cotton in both sides of the graph really had the highest yield. Our threshold was significantly higher than the non-treated. The interaction comes in that we saw more yield loss in the non-BT cotton than the BT cotton when we didn't spray insecticide. If you could digest this graph, if we sprayed insecticides either based on the threshold approach or the aggressive approach, those yields were similar whether it was BT or non-BT. If you look at the unsprayed regime, there was definitely more yield in the BT cotton than the non-BT cotton. And again, this is on average across 4 years, but it was also a very significant effect. So let me make a few summary comments here. The BT trait gave as good or better control than the best alternative thrips control strategy that we'd use in Tennessee. And my data has clearly said that Aris has been a very good treatment, and certainly when we put a foliar spray on it, I would consider that a Cadillac treatment. We do not have a label for Aldicarb in Tennessee at this time. That would be maybe a better standard, you could argue. Actually, in my test the last few years, it hasn't been any better than the Aris C treatment, so I think we chose wisely. The BT trait also reduced plant bug numbers. It reduced plant bug injury. It decreased the number of insecticide applications. It increased yield, particularly if no insecticides were used, either the seed treatment or the foliar spray. And I think Dr. Katchott, Dr. Gore, they've been doing some work with this technology, and they've had similar observations in their studies as well. There are a couple of pictures up here. I'll just point you to that one on the top there. On the right, you're looking at unsprayed BT cotton. Those left eight rows are unsprayed non-BT cotton. Obviously, there's a treatment effect, right? So that's what we're seeing in the field. It was delayed. The leaves didn't come off as early, and that was reflected in yield. So visually, we're definitely seeing some potential benefits of this technology. There are some other things to consider, and I just want to mention those here. I already made this point once, but there's definitely a need to treat this BT technology with insecticides for plant bugs. Monsanto hates when I say this, but the technology appears to be a standalone for thrips control. I haven't seen any blips in the data, and I'm not the only one that's looked at this data. But again, we do need more experience. I think it's very clear that the greatest value of this technology is going to be the reduction in the need to use insecticides for both thrips and plant bugs. And another thing that we've kind of gleaned from our data, but also from the Mississippi data where they've really focused on this, is it does look like our current plant bug thresholds that we're recommending seem to work pretty well on the BT technology. We just need to follow them. And I think that's really important, and Angus and I have discussed this. It's always important to follow the threshold, in my opinion, but if you're going to take advantage of a new technology like this ligage technology, which, you know, it's not like BT cotton where it's knocking them down 90%, 95%. It's knocking them down 20, 30%. You're going to be riding that threshold sometimes, and if you start jumping the gun, you're going to take away a lot of the benefit by pulling that trigger and spraying insecticides. A real important take-home point is we don't have to know everything about this right now. This technology is still 4 years in the future. We don't need to get ahead of ourselves. We need more experience, particularly in larger plots, and I know Monsanto's planning to pursue further research looking at larger plots. Things can change in larger plots, particularly when you're seeing behavioral effects or repellency effects. You don't quite know how that'll translate into when you start talking about a 100-acre field or a 200-acre field. I haven't talked about some of the other data that's been collected across the belt, cotton flea hoppers, western plant bugs. This technology does have activity on those two. Clouded plant bugs, we're going to kind of dig into some of our data. We haven't had a lot of clouded plant bugs in our trials recently, but we don't know if this technology has a significant effect on them. Stink bugs, I think the consensus opinion is we're not having much impact on stink bugs with this technology. But again, some more experience is in order. And then finally, since Dr. Dodds was up here and did a good job talking about some of the challenges of making a profitable crop, it's hard to say what the value of this technology is going to be until we know what we're paying for it, right? And so that's going to take some experience, and that's going to take some decisions by people above my pay grade. I'm going to end right there. I'll be glad to answer any questions. I wasn't trying to go fast because it didn't seem like we needed to. But thank you for your attention.